return. We're not going to, as Pastor says, we're not going to have this problem with your replacement. I will reboot it. I don't need it right now anyway. Well, it's an honor and a privilege to stand before you this morning. I love my brothers in the ministry, my sisters in the ministry who have covered every Sunday that pastors allowed us the opportunity. Man, it's tempting to just sit down and just watch and just glean from the wisdom that comes from John, Ken, Brother Richard, all of them, Suzanne when she ministers the word, Brother James. I mean, all of the people that God, that our pastor has raised up in this body. You know, we are truly blessed. I mean, we have more ministry understanding and wisdom in this house than some churches in this city that people with DDDs and all this other stuff behind their names. But we have a man of God who has instilled the word of God in us and the spirit of God that has flowed through us. He's imparted to us to have that same understanding. It's an honor and a blessing, I'm telling you. And so, I count it an honor and just a privilege to be standing here addressing you this morning. I want to take a moment, if you would indulge me, a proud papa moment. If y'all could in the soundstage, if you could show, there we go. So, preface, I'm going to share with you this, my senior in high school, if I can even say that, that didn't even sound right. My senior, Carolyn, geez, where does the time go? She just got cast in the production of A Christmas Carol. Well, go back, not yet. Go back to that first one. She got cast in the production of A Christmas Carol that's taking place at Zach Theater. Professional performance, and she's a high school student in the production. So that's just the favor of God upon her for that. But as we were going, went to the Friday showing of the play, and I'm walking up, and this is like, and you know, they have like a big, Zach, is their new facility is very nice. They have a walk-up area, and they have these marquees that line, you know, as you're walking along the walkway there. And I'm looking at this marquee, and there's my oldest daughter on one of the marquees there. And I'm like, wow, you know. Now, it brings my heart joy because y'all know where they started from. With death sentence pronounced on them. And, oh, this one, they might have this or they might have that. But seeing, you know, just them walking in the fullness of the purpose that God has placed in their lives, it just brings my heart to overjoying the fact that our God is faithful. And so I'm going to read what's on that marquee because I kind of thought it was interesting. And I wanted to preface it with something I wanted to encourage our parents with. Why are you giving me difficult problems this morning? Golly. But it talks about dreams on that marquee. I'm trying to get to it. Maybe you can read it. It's pretty blurry. I have it here. Anyway, it says basically that dreams start somewhere. Dreams start somewhere, but they become the manifestation of what we see. You know, I said, then the play is James the Giant Peach that my daughter was in. And it's basically saying that see the city that exists here. It didn't just come and build itself. It started with a dream. Parents, and one thing about our body that I love is that we have encouraged our children in their dreams. We haven't crushed their dreams. They might, you know, some people might say, and I had that kind of stolen from me as a kid. I had told one lady what I wanted or what was in my heart to do. And the first thing she says, you can't make no money doing that. And as a kid, that stung because I was like, wow. But we have not stifled our kids. You know, I had to get that junk out of my head. It took years to get it out of my head. But we don't do that with our children. We tell them whatever God has put in your heart, you can run with it. Whatever he's placed in your heart, there's nothing that you can't accomplish with the anointed Redeemer leading and guiding and directing you. And so we see Quavon making turduncans. Man, that thing was good. That thing was good. But we see our children learning to excel in the things that God has placed in their hearts, and we haven't stifled that. So leading back to the story, so then, and of course, you can go to the next picture. You see Carolyn in the ensemble there. She's like kind of in the middle there by the Christmas tree with a little white hat on. But tremendous production. I was just blown away at what these young people put together. There was a young lady at the end, just to show you the favor of God, how he works things out. There's a young lady, I encourage you, if you have an opportunity, go see the play, it's great. But there's a young lady who's one of the leads, her name is Chanel Haynes, and she used to be part of a gospel group called Trinity 5-7. But she, amazing voice, amazing. I mean, she took the people to church. They didn't realize it, but they didn't come to the Christmas carol, they came to church. What were they singing? Oh, Happy Day at the End? Joy to the World, Joy to the World. But anyway, she came out. And like I said, this young lady, she's been, I mean, all over the place. You know, she's done plays, she's done, you know, all kinds of things. And she come, a very humble young lady, and I just tapped on the shoulder and said, you did an amazing job, just incredible. She was like, oh, thank you so much. And as Carolyn was coming, I goes, that's my baby daughter right there. She goes, that's my baby. She's like, that's my baby. She's like, you can tell she come from good people. That's what she said. So it's just the honor of having been taught by the examples that God has given us, Pastor Jim and Sister Lou being those examples of being good parents to not only us, but to their son, and just being able to instill that in our children is a tremendous blessing. So just to see the favor that God has poured on them. But like I said, it makes your heart thankful to God to know that his steadfast promises are unwavering. They don't change. And to see, it's like, man, they started off. I remember going to the hospitals in the neonatal, and then me and Tara felt like that was going to last forever. It just felt like one long-lasting thing. But all along, to see where they've come from, to see where God, it's an exciting thing to see them pursuing the purpose that God has on their lives. And that's just one area. But today I want to talk about Sister Michelle, I see you back there. She always taps into what God has put in my heart. She says something, or she'll trigger something and say something. I'm like, yeah, she hearing something right. We're on the same wavelength. And then Pastor Jim got up there with that verse from Matthew, and I'm like, rip it out. It's already covered. But we're going to talk today about the attitude of gratitude. The attitude of gratitude. If you would turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:8, we'll start there. It's so important in this time and season, you know, with the, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays that are here. It's very easy for people to start getting into what they say, the holiday spirit, or, you know, but we should always keep before us the mindset that we should be thankful to the Father for all that he has done for us. You know, God has blessed us tremendously as a nation, as a church, individually. We have been blessed. And so it's so important for us to, it's something that sometimes becomes cliche, but it's so important for us to not lose sight of being thankful for all that God continues to do and show forth in our lives because of his faithfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus, in the anointed Redeemer. Now, yesterday, I went and got my hair cut early in the morning, got back home, had a flat tire when I got home, when I got ready to take Carolyn to her play in the afternoon. Now, the temptation is, flat tire, man. Dang, I got a flat tire. You know, but thank God, my neighbor right across the way saw me, brought his air compressor, pumped air in my tire so I could get to the store to get it patched up. That flat tire could have happened while we were on our way back from Houston. You see what I'm saying? It's the little things that sometimes we're not thankful for that we need to reflect and say, man, God, you were with me. Even when I wasn't even aware that this was even going on, you knew it and put me in a position where I was safe. You know what I'm saying? My family was safe. We, like I said, we could have had that flat tire coming back. But brought it, wasn't no real damage to the tire or anything. Could have been a situation where I had to buy a brand new tire. They just patched it up and I was good to go. But once again, being thankful for just the little things that God has done for us, we have so much to be thankful for, and it extends beyond a holiday or a time of year. You know, growing up in the Baptist church, we used to sing a song almost like almost every other Sunday. It said, every day is a day of thanksgiving. every single day that we wake up, that we're touched by the finger of God. It's not your alarm clock that wakes you up. It's the finger of God's grace that allows you and I to wake up every morning to see a brand new day. That's something, as soon as we get up out of the bed and our feet hit the ground, we need to say, thank you, Father, that you allowed me to see another day that was not promised to me, but by your love and by your grace, you allowed me to see a new day. And sometimes in our American society, we're tempted to take for granted how blessed, Sister Michelle said it, we live in a nation where we're free to express our love for God. We live in a nation where we can worship and pray or do whatever we need to do to express our love for God. We need to be doing it more. They're doing what they want to do. It's time for us to quit being silent and be boastful about our faith in our Lord. Now, is everything perfect? No, but it's remotely different from any other nation on the face of the earth simply because we know the roots and foundation that this nation was established on, the Rock of Ages. But I want to read something to you from Randy Alcorn's book entitled Money, Possessions, and Eternity. He states the following. Now, listen to this. I know many of us are well beyond any of these numbers, but just listen at this. If you made only $1,500 a year, $1,500 a year, some of us make that in a day. If you only made $1,500 a year, that's more than 80% of the people on the earth. Statistically, if you have sufficient food, decent clothes, live in a house or an apartment, have a reasonable, reliable means of transportation, you are among the top 15% of the world's wealthy. If you have money saved, a hobby that requires some equipment or supplies, a variety of clothes in your closet, two cars in any condition, and live in your own home, you are among the top 5 of the world's wealth. So that just shows you how blessed our country is. Yeah. And it's because what Pastor reminds us is because of that little thing that's not a little thing that they stamp on the money, says, in God we trust. Well, some of us, that's real. We do trust him. And because of that, we can be thankful to know that our God, it's not anything for us to be ashamed to want and to desire and know that wealth belongs to us as we confess it, because that's for us to be the distribution center of those who are lacking it. And when they get it from us, we remind them the reason why you got this, because we are attached to the kingdom. We're conduits of his kingdom, and you're being blessed because God has blessed us. But we definitely want to lay hold of the blessings that God has in store for us. But at the same time, we don't want to lose sight of what he has already done for us and maintain that grateful heart toward him continually. Just that thankful heart to God, I believe, is a conduit that allows his blessings to continue to flow. Because going back to what the scripture that Pastor talked about, that leper that came back, he said that he was thankful. Amen. He was thankful. The other ones got what they did what they were supposed to do, but you could have at least came back and said, thank you. I mean, sometimes I have to catch myself. I really do. Because I'm UT, I'm opening the door for somebody. One time I opened the door for a well-established quarterback at the university. He was on crutches. And I went out of my way to open the door. He walked through, he didn't say nothing. Needless to say, he's not the quarterback there no more. I'm not gonna mention any names. but I believe, seriously, I believe that when you don't have a heart of gratitude, you take advantage of what others do for you. I think that has an adverse effect. Vice versa. When you have a thankful heart towards individuals and you show it and express it, people will go out of their way to bless you because of the hope, open heart. They realize, man, this person really appreciates what I do. I try to make it my business to, whenever I go to a place of business or whatever, I thank them for their service, because people take advantage of those people. They treat them any kind of way. But just those two words, thank you, can change their day. And when I had a lady tell me, she said, thank you so much for saying that. It's like people have been, you know, treating me really bad all day. This lady cursed me out because I dropped a plate accidentally. But just knowing that someone appreciated the service that they were extending, it can change their whole attitude about life itself. So let's look for a little bit of what the scriptures talks about in regards to giving thanks. Because the word definitely is very clear that that should be a literally part of our life. We should always walk around with that attitude of gratitude. First thing that the word shows us, and this is just one of four things. I mean, he can go for probably a long time the rest of the afternoon, but I just want to spotlight four important things that the word points to us about being thankful. Number one, thanks is tied to giving and liberality. Thanks is tied to giving and liberality. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's look at verses 10 and 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 12. And verse 10, it says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." Verse 11, "You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God." Verse 12, "For the ministry of this service is not only fully supplying the needs of the saints, but it is overflowing through many thanksgivings to God." Now, Gospel according to D. A stingy gut is typically someone who is not thankful. Someone who will just not refuse to be a giver, refuse to give of themselves, their time, is usually somebody that's stingy. But vice versa, the person who is a constant giver is someone who is constantly saying thank you. Someone who is aware that the blessings that are coming on them, the only reason why they have those blessings is because they serve a God who is allowing them to be a blessing. And because of that, you will see a thankful heart in that individual. And that's what Paul was saying here to the Corinthian church. He was saying that, man, because of this ministry that we have, it's more than just supplying to the saints. We understand that we're able to supply to the saints because we're walking in that thanksgiving attitude toward our Father, because we understand he's our constant supply. A thankful heart is an ever-giving heart. A person that's thankful will always give of themselves, their time, their resources, their finances. They will give of themselves because they realize that they serve an awesome God. So that's the first thing we have to understand about a thankful heart. It's an ever-giving heart. It's always giving outside itself. The next thing that we want to look at is that thanks should be evidenced in our prayers. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Very familiar passage of scripture. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Let's also look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, and it reads, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." You know, when I was looking at those passages of scripture, one of the things that reminded me is that if we all we do is just come to God with our prayer list with no thanks attached to it, it just becomes a brat list. It just becomes a brat list. "Well, God, I want this, I want this," but we neglect to remember what he did last week. Or we forget what he did last year. But we're ever constantly, "Well, I want this," or "I need this." Knowing that with him, we've been given every earthly and spiritual blessing in the Anointed Redeemer already. So if anything, our prayer list that we come to him should always be that thank you attitude towards it, knowing that we don't even, he already knows what we have need of before we even ask it. So the mindset of coming to him with my list, my petitions, should be with an attitude of knowing, "Father, I'm giving this to you because I know it's a done deal in Christ Jesus. I know that you've already done it, so I'm just going to celebrate you," rather than, "This is my what I want," you know, like the Sears Christmas wish list book they used to come out with. No, we have the promise list in our anointed Redeemer and in the word that he's given us, so we can rest and know that the assurance of the promises are a done deal. A thankful heart is a heart that is confident in the promises of God. A thankful heart is a heart that is confident in the promises of God. The word tells us his promises are yes and amen. We can rest in knowing that. So when I come to him, whenever it is, whatever it is that I might need, I already can be assured that because of the it is written word of truth, I can rest and be thankful. That's something to celebrate, to know that he is faithful who said it and he will bring it to pass. The next thing is that we need to look at thanks and be thankful for the body of Christ. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 3. And then once you have that one, you might want to stick your finger in it, and then we'll go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 again. So 1 Thessalonians and then 2 Thessalonians, and both of them, we're going to look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And this is both in Paul's intros to in both letters to the church in Thessalonica. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers and constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. And let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Once again, he says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because of your faith, which is constantly greatly enlarged, and the love of each of you always toward one another, which grows ever grateful. And when I read this, immediately, I said, man, this sounds like House of the Lord. This sounds like what we see here. I want to encourage you. Be ever thankful for our man of God. Don't ever take for granted the blessing that we have from having a pastor who hears from God. But also, don't ever take for granted our men of valor, our hostesses, the praise team, all those who serve. They are integral parts of this body that we should constantly be giving thanks for. Because when all of those parts are in operation, the body is working the way it's intended to. If you imagine one day the men of valor decide, look, we're not going. We tired. That would be a big missing piece. Well, that ain't gonna happen, I know. But I'm just saying, every part is important. And for us to just take it for granted, throw something on the ground, are they going to pick that up? No. I don't have to pick. That's the wrong attitude. Amen. Or, you know, I'm going to, some people, not in this church, thank God, but some people think that praise and worship is something that happens before the sermon and I can come just for the sermon. But no, it's all an integral part. And because it's an integral part, we should be thankful for it. We should be thankful for one another for every position and every place that God has called us to serve in, knowing that your role is just as important as my role. You know, the stuff that Brother Steve does and never requires you to give thanks for him, but he does it out of a heart of love. Each one of us in this body, whatever position or thing that we are called to do, every person in here should be thankful for that, because that's what allows us to be the house of the Lord. You take the living room out of your house, your room is incomplete. But you're thankful for your living room. You don't take advantage of your living room just because it's the living room. You use it for the purposes intended. But it's just as important as every other part of your house. But you take that part out, something's missing. And you've been wishing, man, I wish I had a living room. You see what I'm saying? Every last one of us, because we are the body, we should appreciate what every person does and what they stand. When someone's not in their place, that's a part of the body that's missing. And so we don't want to get in this attitude of taking for granted the positions and the places. We don't want to take for granted that, oh, it's such good teaching, and then 30 minutes later, we forget what it is. Or we leave notes on the chair that the man of God worked hard to establish those notes and put them together, and they're just on the chair. It's like, that's taking for granted the gift. Each one of us, you and I, we're a gift, and we should be thankful, and we should express that thanks. We do it. I mean, that's one thing I love about this church, is that the heart and the love that people from, when they come in from out of town and they see us in operation, you know, they see the love that's extended. And that's why I said, when I was reading these verses, I was like, you know, this is my church. We see this on a daily basis. This is not just something that's just fabricated or put together. This is, you are some of the most giving, the most loving people on the planet. But don't ever take that for granted. Continue to cultivate that love and demonstrate. What does the word tell us? That by the love we have for one another, men will know that we are his disciples, that we are his followers. So continue to cultivate that, but always ever be thankful for each other. Whatever capacity you are in this body, you are integral and you matter. Yeah. A thankful heart is a heart that is full of love toward the body of Christ. And you know what? It's also love that's extended to those who are outside the body of Christ. When people come in, get ready. We've been saying it forever, but the day is coming. Get ready. Those weird looking people are going to come in with tats and piercings and all kinds of stuff, and they're going to sit right next to you. Come on. Your opportunity to have that love extended to them. And we do it. I mean, I immediately, there was a lady, I think last Sunday, came and sat kind of towards where Brother Scott is. And immediately I saw people come to her. You know, that's just who we are. And that's something that we've been taught. But just continue to cultivate that and continue to have that love for one another. That's something that we should definitely be thankful for in this body. So many churches, they will stab you in the back. Ask me, I know. I grew up in one. You know, but I don't fear that about anybody in this church. And no one has an ulterior motive about how they feel. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, how that really, really blessed me, and how I knew it was happening, and what God had done in this church was when our man of God was attacked. And I heard men of God say, most churches would have folded. But we're not most churches. We've been taught well. We've been taught the word. And it didn't become about, well, Brother Richard's the man that's running it, or some. No. We came together, we rallied together, and we did exactly what we were taught. And we covered our man of God. We stood with our man of God. You know the testimony behind that, how, you know, God raised him up, how they had all of those medical bills wiped out because the body came together in agreement. And that's how we need to continue to walk, always thankful for this body that God has blessed us with. The next thing that we need to be thankful for is that we have a Father God who continues to be faithful toward us. You know, the young people have a saying. They say, keep it 100. Keep it 100. Well, we're going to keep it 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, which is a psalm of David. And in this psalm, is very familiar. You know, growing up, I used to hear this every Sunday. We used to quote this every Sunday. And I didn't know what it meant, but praise God for the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. When I came here, this isn't just a psalm that we quote. Man, this is an expression of our heart towards the Father. Psalm chapter 100, it says, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. Now, you know, David had a jacked up life. We know that. But there was one thing about David. He was ever praising God. He was ever constantly praising God for his faithfulness. And that's why I think the Lord was that extended grace towards David was always there, because he understood David loves me. David's heart is toward me. When we have that passion and that desire to, above all else, give glory to God, as Pastor was saying earlier, that's where we're to live. And in that abiding, continual thankfulness and giving glory to God, there is absolutely nothing impossible to us. There's absolutely nothing we can't see accomplished, because we understand it's not about us, it's about him. So we're going to give him the glory. We're going to exalt in him. David did some stuff that most of us would say, man, that disqualifies you. But because he was willing to always run to the Father and crawl up in Daddy's lap and said, Daddy, above all else, I love you. I know I missed it. I know I messed up, but I love you. And God constantly covered him, covered him. Put that woman's husband on the front line and thought he could cover it up. But God, his faithfulness, David knew. He was like, there's no reason for me to sit up here and I'm gonna wash my face and realize I messed up, but I'm gonna come into the presence of God and know that in God's abiding presence, there is covering. We should constantly be giving thanks to God for his faithfulness. Amen. A thankful heart is a heart that always praises God. You know what? Not just for his hand, but for his heart. See, it's not just about what God can give me. As we sang the song earlier, I just want to know you. I'm thankful that you ushered me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your dear son. That's something he initiated. We responded to it. That's something to be thankful for, and to continue to come before him in thanksgiving, knowing that you were thinking about me when you weren't even on my mind, but you had enough love and grace extended toward me to redeem me and see. And one thing about God, what he has redeemed, it's fit for service. It's fit for great service in his kingdom. So we should constantly be giving thanks to God for his faithfulness. And it's not, like I said, just not just what he can give us. I would rather have his heart than his hand. Because the bottom line is, I have his heart. There's nothing that I can't receive from him. I don't just want a father that I just come to him for what I want. That's not any kind of relationship. We're just speaking physically. If you just came to your father when it was time for you to get something. That's not a relationship. But when I have his heart, when I know that, you know, Dad, I did this. No problem, son. I got you covered. If we being evil know how to cover our kids, how much more do we know our father has always got our back? He doesn't want us running from us. He wants us running to him. His hand is continually extended saying, come. And so always giving thanks that we have a father who is faithful. As we're getting ready to wrap up, I just want to say one thing about a thankful heart. A thankful heart, in summary, equates to a life of God's continual favor manifested both internally and externally. Say that again. A thankful heart equals a life of God's continual favor manifested both internally and externally. It's not enough. If God blesses me, it's not enough for me to just keep it contained within myself. But that thanks triggers within me a desire to be just like my father and extend my hand to others, to extend my hand in prayer, to extend my hand in whatever it might be, giving of finances, whatever it might be, or giving prayer and agreement and coming against anything. If it's coming against someone in this house, it's coming against me because we're one. So having that attitude, that attitude of gratitude causes me to not be content with just what I get for me. I'm concerned with what God does and what my brothers and sisters are trusting and believing him for as well. What we celebrate, we've always said it, our man of God has taught us, what we celebrate, we can possess. You know what we celebrate? We celebrate our God and his faithfulness. And when we do that, in the process of being thankful for what we have and what we've received, we can boldly stand with others for what they are praising God for and giving thanks continually. As the word says, let that praise be continually in our mouths. Let his praise be continually be in our mouths. When I can celebrate with you, when I get angry with someone because they got a new car, I've cut myself off. I've cut myself off. But if I can be just as thankful and exuberant about their blessing, guess what? The door is open for mine because we're connected. So when one gets blessed, when this one is blessed, and I can celebrate with him. He got a new house, y'all. He got a new, and y'all didn't hear me. He got a new house. Where the shepherd goes, the sheep can follow. But if you say, oh, Pastor Jim, he got a new house. I ain't got no new house. That's why. That's why. Because of the attitude. We should always have that attitude of gratitude, of knowing that when God blesses one, he's not a respecter of persons. What he does for one, he can do for others when they're connected in the praise that that individual has. And that's just the one thing that I just want to leave us with, knowing and resting assuring that the promises that God has given us, they're assured. But the thing that keeps them continually flowing is that attitude of gratefulness, saying, Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for allowing, like Sister Michelle said, thank you for allowing us. We could have been born any place on the earth. I could have, thank God I wasn't born, I'm not going to put nobody down that's from here, but thank God I wasn't born in Zimbabwe or somewhere. But he put me here. You know, that's a blessing. That's something we shouldn't take for granted. It doesn't matter how it looks. It's all this crazy election season stuff that, and I'm like, if these people took into account being thankful for born in a free nation, most countries wouldn't allow all that bickering. They would just cut your head off and say, this is who it is, period. But we have a process where we're sitting here. We were talking earlier in the break room, and it blessed me, but it all came back down to the fact that God has made us to walk as brothers. You know, there's all this stuff with the, you know, disrespecting the flag and all this other stuff. And I'm like, really? Really? You're really going to go there? When this nation allows you to do the crazy stuff that you're doing, to disrespect it, try that in the Middle East somewhere. Try taking a knee in the Middle East and see where that gets you. But you're in a nation that's allowing you to disrespect it. But we look at us, we don't want to ever get in a situation where we take those things for granted, the things and the freedoms that God has given us. Let's always be vigilant to be grateful, not only to God, but for one another. I thank God for House of the Lord. I thank God for Pastor Jim. I thank God for Sister Lou. I thank God for every person that's an integral part of this body. You matter. You are important. The Father God placed you here, and because he did, you have a purpose. And I say, let's just walk it out. Let's just walk it out. Let's keep it 100 and keep our praise for our Father continually in our mouths. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your people, Father. Lord, we have so much to be grateful for. As my grandmother used to say, Father God, if we had 10,000 tongues, it wouldn't be enough, Father, to say thank you for all in who you are in our lives. Father, we rejoice. We celebrate you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, that during this time, this holiday season, as some coin it, Father God, allow your people to demonstrate that thankfulness of heart wherever they go, Father, wherever we come in contact with people. And as a result of that, we know that having that thankful gratitude of heart will also show forth your goodness to others, Father. So let us always be vigilant, Father, to have that heart of understanding and knowing that you are faithful, Father. You are awesome in all your ways towards us, Father. And we can rest in assurance knowing that greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world, Father. We rejoice, we celebrate you for who you are, Father. I stand in agreement with all of those, Lord God, who, Father God, whatever it might be, they're standing in agreement or standing on your word for, Lord God, we say is established and it is whatever they say, Lord. We celebrate your faithfulness, Lord God, and thank you that whom you've blessed, Father, none can curse. We rejoice, we honor you, and we bless you this day, Father. Thank you. Stand with me. Pastor, do you have anything, sir? We're going to dismiss. I would also remind you that in the main foyer area, we're going to be celebrating our man of God. Amen. His birthday. So definitely encourage you. But before that, if anyone desires prayer, as we're dismissing, if anyone desires prayer and stand in agreement for what the man of God said earlier about the healing, the lies attacking you, we're going to curse those things. We're going to speak and decree that it is written word of truth and see you set free. Whatever might be plaguing you or tormenting you, it has to go. And so I'm going to ask the ministers to come up and we're going to pray and just know and celebrate your healing. We're not praying for your healing. We're celebrating it. Amen. So you are the blessed of the Lord. The Lord's hand is upon you for success. You are created and ordained for success and abundance overtakes your household. And decree that everything you do prospers. There is no weapon formed against you that shall prosper. And every tongue that has risen in judgment against you, you have the authority to cast it down and call it null and void of effect. You are the blessed of the Lord, and whom the Lord has blessed, none can curse. Amen. Go with God. Praise God. If you're desiring prayer,